Welcome to Tech Chat 49 for February 4, 2010. This is Michael Loff. And as the train whistles in the background, we roll forward here. Tonight's topic is ATIA 2010 highlights and beyond, because it was very interesting that as soon as I got home, I thought, wow, I got all this cool stuff to talk about. But as soon as I got home, there were two other announcements that came out. Oratio for the BlackBerry and the first demo that we've been waiting for. It's not out publicly yet, but a demo of the forthcoming Blio Reader giving access to 1 million books. So you have all of that going on. And because that's not enough, last night I did a very interesting interview with a visually impaired gentleman whose vision is down to about 3% in one eye. His name is Danny Wayne. I used to work with him in radio. In fact, he's been on this Tech Chat a few episodes back, and we talked about holiday gift ideas. But so he does some rehab work as well as working in radio. And he had the honor of attending the activities pre-Super Bowl and getting to interview the players. And today he got to meet, I guess, with the Who and Steve Winwood and Carrie Underwood and all that cool stuff, who will be doing halftime show. So he talks about that. Of course, as always, we encourage people to use our link number one here and bookmark serotalk.com. That's where the latest stuff is. And we post in many different venues, Facebook, Twitter, and Socializer and Information Center. But if you want the latest and greatest, get it ASAP. Go to serotalk.com. It's the place to do it. Link number two, I put some of my favorite ones here, but link number two specifically takes you to a page here that talks about 28 interviews that were done. The big term that I heard a lot, and there's a reason I'm mentioning these first, and I'll explain to you here, was cause and effect. I don't know if that's how these folks derive revenue, but there was a lot of talk about cause and effect. You know, this happens, and you should respond in this way to that. So that was a lot of what this, what ATIA, to my knowledge, has become. Someone told me that kind of started back in 02, maybe 03. I think it's kind of the predominant special ed type of genre, I think, is what the conference has become. So it would not surprise me in the future if some folks in the blindness and low vision decide maybe to take their efforts elsewhere, not attend the event. Now, in part, attendance was down probably because of the economy and also because they also have an event in Chicago. So if you have two events, you may go to the one closest to you. Of course, our announcement to the event here and link number three, Serotech introduces the AE Hotspot. I'll try to explain what this is. It is a technology that takes accessible event to the next level, meaning you can localize it. This is actually a piece of hardware that you would either purchase for your corporation or university, or you could rent it on an as-needed basis so that you could show presentations locally, PowerPoint, Word documents, Excel spreadsheets, web pages, what have you. And so your staff could attend and participate and be fully included in the webinars. And of course, it also adds the ability, it has we call it hotspot because it covers 1.5 city blocks, and you also have the ability to enable internet. So imagine, say, for example, going to a special seminar webinar that's hosted at a hotel, but this way you could give internet access to the people participating in your seminar, or otherwise they would have to pay $9.95 or something per day to get access in that hotel. So you can control who would have internet access. Of course, you could have people just log on to it just like a Wi-Fi hotspot. You could disseminate information. So imagine, I think of examples like, a career day kind of event, or maybe an orientation day at a college or university, or again, a convention where you could come in and as an attendee, as an exhibitor, you could get updated information on what's going on, hotels, you know, maybe even some instructional directions for blind and visually impaired people, how to navigate the area that they're in. So there's so many uses for this. But of course, certainly there was concern from corporations that said, well, accessible events, great, but we want it local. We don't want, even though it is fairly secure, someone would have to know the 9-digit code, but we don't want to, maybe we have confidential information we don't want to get out to the masses. So we can host this locally and have the best of both worlds. We could strictly have internal access, or we could take an event and make it locally available for our people here at the business or college, as well as across the world. So across the room and across the world. That's the objective of the AE Hotspot. And of course, you'll be hearing more about that in the future, but you can always go and listen to the 2.5-minute demo, and then there's a form where you can request more information. Link here, number three, accessibleevent.com/hotspot. Well, the next category I wanted to talk about was a lot of folks are always interested in reading technology. And of course, we had three developments there, one of which the most exciting to me actually came after. It was when I got home this Monday evening, and of course, the NFB had a convention in Washington and D.C., and people attended that. And James Gashel did the first demo of the Blio Reader. And link number four here points to that, blioreader.com. Some folks mistakenly thought that the product is out because we posted that, but no, it is not out yet. They were just showing it, and if you pay attention, you could definitely tell it's not ready for prime time, as you can hear some things they were doing. But they did show a version for the PC and a version for the iPhone as of now. We've heard rumors of a version for the Mac, as well as maybe some other cell phone format, so we'll have to track that. But we're talking about 1 million books. We're talking about textbooks, audiobooks, and possibly, I think one of the most exciting things is that not only can you have TTS, but the cursor can actually scroll along with it. So imagine the possibilities here using this help teach children to read or improve their reading, or maybe even illiterate adults. And I don't know, there's some negativity I've sensed out there. A few folks have referred to this as smoke and mirrors. I'm not quite sure why, because actually, to my understanding, and certainly we will get people on from the NFB to clarify this, but this product, while the NFB is promoting it and I guess sponsoring it to an extent, this is an outside mainstream public product, and everyone will be able to use this. So the quote-unquote 1 million free books that you get will be the result of the Google project that's been trying to scan every book possible. But then also there will be up to 1 million additional books that you can purchase. So our hope here is that with advocacy, with publishers and so forth, that this may be the vehicle to get college textbooks and other important books that we need for trade and vocation purposes. So very excited that this is actually a mainstream product. This is not blindness specific. It's going to work for us. It's something we can use, but it is not specifically designed for us exclusively. So that to me is very exciting. That is the biggest development that we've actually seen something come out, and this was not, they would not give me any information or even talk about it. I think obviously they wanted their Washington to be their debut of the product. So beyond that, link number five, we did a formal official announcement. Rumors have been flowing, and now you got confirmation that BookSense, the next release of the firmware 2.1, will enable you to synchronize SAMNet content. So you'll be able to download movies, different audio. Of course, you can create from your email messages, user forums, podcasts, and a lot of cool stuff you'll be able to do with the BookSense. A lot of people very excited about that. Now, the number one file that seems to be downloaded from everything that I've done is link number six. It's an audio demo, excuse me, of the BookPort Plus. This is the forthcoming product from APH coming out in the next month. Now, this is it's a nice product. It's like a lot of the new ones, the BookSense. They just look like little modified cell phones, screenless devices, which I would hope would give you extra battery life. But great. The standout to this, I guess, was its great recording quality. So in addition to playing your NLS content and MP3 and OGG and I believe non-protected WMA and so forth, that you did have a nice audio recorder. Had a standby mode, so you'd hit power and kind of just go into a sleep standby mode, kind of the way the iPhone works, where you'd hold it down longer if you wanted to shut it off, but they claim it could sit in that mode for 20 days. Alarms, about 8 hours of actual playback time. We cranked up the speed on it, so those of you who like to speed read with your books, it did very well in that space. And again, recording quality was great. And of course, if you had a better mic, you could add an eighth stereo or 3.5 stereo connector. You could hook up an external stereo mic and really get some decent audio quality out of it. So a lot of buzz about that. I don't know if it's just people general interest in the latest device or if for some reason people really want to purchase this. I think there were just a lot of fans of the initial BookPort. This, of course, uses your Tom and Samantha. I always want to call her Stephanie. I don't know why, but so your Tom and Samantha, which is pretty much standard. So I don't know if the resolution, the bitrate is any higher than that on the Victor. I didn't hear that. But so that's the voice you've got with it for your text. And it will do Word doc. It'll do 2003, but not 2007 as of this time. And I think it also does HTML. But listen to the whole 27 minute interview that I conducted with Larry Skutkan to kind of get up on that, and a lot of interest there. And of course, link number seven here is a direct link to the BookPort Plus documentation and the software that they've already made available that you can play with it. The other feature I think some people are going to be interested in is that you can connect one of the portable USB CD players directly to the device, and it will automatically, or you know, with prompting, it will convert you can either listen to it or rip the audio out into MP3 files. So no computer required. I'm curious how much time that takes to do that. But I think a lot of people will be excited about that. That is very daunting for some people to rip CDs into MP3 format. So if you can just take, you know, a $59, $69 player and connect it to this device and with prompting convert it, that's cool. Of course, the other thing was the audio recorder. It gave you levels. It said high, or of course you wanted to try to get it down to good. So you actually got an audio confirmation if you were over modulating, so that you could set your levels and make a decent audio recording. So a lot of people interested in that device, and you can certainly check that out. I could give this link for the documentation, but it's just best, I think, to go get it. It's tech.aph.org/bt_info.htm for those of you. But of course, you go get it. Sarah will talk. Now, the next, I say really, though, the biggest area in terms of innovation would be enhancements to cell phones, smartphones, and PDAs, because you had three different things that took place here. Technically four. I mean, one was, two weren't at the event. So anyway, the first item was publicly, now I heard about it at the event, but became publicly announced on Monday, that being the Oratio screen reader for the BlackBerry. Some limitations as it currently stands, but for those, of course, who work in the government space or work for corporations, mid-upper level management who needs BlackBerry for security purposes, or even blind attorneys, certainly are interested in the BlackBerry format. It's not for all of us, so don't say I have an iPhone, I'm not going to change. Well, you're not the market. It is specifically for those three entities that I mentioned. But right now it has some limitations. The biggest one is that right now the web browser is still very limited. You can only view what they call mobile landing pages. So say like m.facebook.com or m.something.com. So you might be able to do your email and your messaging and handle your calls and your contacts and so forth. And that's a nice start, but the web browsing is not there. And I'm sure people owning a BlackBerry want to have the web access, especially since you're paying for data to do that. So the 8520 does limit you to AT&T. So there should be some other options. You mentioned a company in Canada called Fido. So maybe by the 15th or early March, there'll be an option there, and they'll expand on it. Maybe some other models, kind of non-committal, maybe the 9630, because that's been widely adopted, I think, by some corporations. So we will track and progress that. But folks interested in wanting and needing that technology, the website, and of course, we got a direct link, is Oratio. That's Oratio, the number 4. BB is in BlackBerry.com. So Oratio4BB.com is where you can, that redirects over to HumanAware, but you can get the latest information and track the evolution of that. Released last Wednesday was MobileSpeak 4.0. It'd been hyped for a little while, but it was officially released. Now, this gives access to, in addition to some other features, gives access to some touchscreen phones on not only the Windows Mobile format, but also some of the Symbian. I think whether it's now S60 Series 5 or 5th Series, whatever they call it. And I saw a very nice phone. Now, I didn't play with it with MobileSpeak. I actually played with it with Talks, which we'll talk about in a minute. But Nokia N97. And I think this phone, and maybe some others like it, will be of interest to people because it's a combination of a touchscreen and a QWERTY keyboard. So I think a lot of blind folks will like that, so that they have the QWERTY when they need to do some rapid input, but then have the touchscreen. So I didn't get to see how MobileSpeak works. I am told it uses, as it does in some other devices, this quadrant kind of technology where the screen is divided into four areas to help people find things. And of course, some people want the real touch screen experience. So again, this is only through the Vine O' Grapes, but I understand they may be coming out with an update that will allow people to have it your way and either use the quadrant system if that helps you isolate and find the icons and features that you need, or use it as a true touch screen device with everything located where it's meant to be. Now, the next item, I just mentioned the pricing on that. I would hope for a little better price discount. They had an initial price discount of $50. So it's $295 new, or before 4 was released, it was $148, and now it's $195. So if you already own it, you only get a $100 discount other than buying it new. So it's $195 is the price. And I think Blind Bargains may have it for $175, I believe. I shouldn't say that. I don't have it in front of me here. But so shop around for it. Maybe you can get a discount if you want to go the way of MobileSpeak. And of course, listen to the interview. It mentions, of course, the Nokia N97, or of course, a couple phones in the Windows Mobile platform, if that's the operating system that you prefer. Number 10 here is a link to Talks. And I think now they're up to something like 4.113, and they've added support for a number of phones. But coming out this summer is 4.5, which I got to see in action with touchscreen support. Now, a few things that I noticed, because I was trying to understand, what are the differences in the way that the touchscreen is going to work? And the first thing that got my attention here was that you have to apply a good bit more pressure to actually invoke or initiate the touch screen, the touch mechanism. And part of that's the way that I don't think they use the same kind of capacitance that the iPhone does. So you have to apply a bit more pressure. So once you do that, you can flick and move through icons, but you don't have any of this page. You don't have pages like you do on the iPhone. So if you had 60 or 70 apps like I do, it might take you quite a while to find what you want. Likewise, you'd simply single tap on something when you want to initiate it. So I don't know how hard that tap has to be. I thought there was definitely a respectable amount of pressure that had to be applied before you could even initiate the touchscreen mechanism. So I was a little concerned about people who had limited dexterity, limited muscle functionality in their fingers. Although you might argue that there may be no touchscreen that's going to be ideal for that situation. But you could argue it's a plus sign to the iPhone. You're not going to probably not accidentally do things, you know, flick and move and create gestures that you didn't intend to do. But so it'll be curious to see how the final product works. You got 5 buttons on the bottom to do certain things. And of course, it still has its kind of Nokia menued system. So it was cool and all, but I really, personally, any of us who own iPhones, I can't see going back. But I'll be curious to see what other people think who have the ability to play with different touchscreen technologies and get their hands on and do reviews and so forth. But definitely that is the evolution. And we're just glad to see that the touchscreens are now have been made accessible in a variety of phones. And that, of course, Talks is going to fix some other issues as well that have been plaguing users, fixing 2 core applications. So the next thing was really non-techie. I guess there was a little bit of technology involved, but it was an interview that a lot of people caught on to and have been very interested in. That was my interview with a lady by the name of Tristan talking about accessible physical education products or health and fitness type products. So 11 is a link here to listen to what was a 21-minute interview. We went through a variety of products, and link 12 is a direct link to the APH physical products page. I guess I could click on that. We might as well click on something here. So here we have a jump rope to fitness kit. This one got some interest because you have some different jump ropes, but you also have a ropeless jump rope. So I guess if you live in an apartment and you don't want to be bouncing up and down and getting your neighbors all upset, or maybe you have good arm motion but you have problems with your legs, or for whatever reason, you can certainly do this and twirl your arms and maybe even go up and down off your toes and so forth. But and of course it tracks like your motion. It counts how many times, how many rotations you did with your arms and so forth. So that was very interesting. There was also a tennis ball set with 6 balls. Listen to that. I would love for someone to tell me what's inside those balls. She was not able to tell me. If I knew, I would give away a prize for someone who could identify it. It's not bells. It's not like the old bell balls that we used to use and whack around in the wrestling room and stuff and play baseball outside and stuff. So, but anyway, you get 6 balls and you get 2 junior size rackets and you get 2 eye guards, whatever, blindfolds, so, you know, that you can play a family member and make sure that all parties are blind. I guess they have different classifications, like B1 being totally blind up to B4. So anyway, there was a lot of interest there. At first, I didn't equate it, but there was a padlock. And of course, the logic here was obviously to lock up your belongings, you know, when you go into a gym or something. But you could use this in a number of applications, and it was only about $15. Actually, the price shows right here $12.50. So maybe it's $15 with shipping. I don't know. But it has 10 raised buttons on it, 1 through 5 and 6 through 0. But what's cool is you actually get a card with both Braille and large print, so you actually know your own combination. You don't have to go into the gym or somewhere and ask them, hey, by the way, what's my combination? So that was kind of a neat little gizmo that you could use for fitness or just to lock up maybe important items that you don't want certain family members or roommates or other people, visitors, that you just don't fully trust to get their hands on. So then we had these PSS, the Sport Edition and Portable Sound Source. This was kind of like it kind of reminds me of an old electric antenna I had, but that's not a good, I wouldn't really call it an antenna. It was just kind of a very hard plastic device, but it had, so it's basically for audio goals. You had 2 different types of sound, so you could affix this to a basketball goal and play basketball like we used to do in high school. Or say we didn't have that. We had it in our gym, but we didn't have it out in the masses, man. We had to do it the old school way, no sounds included, you know, but it is kind of neat. So that's certainly something that you could play with and use it for a number of different things for audio markings. And they claim someone put an arrow through it and it still functions. So it looks pretty durable, because I was concerned after it took a few whacks of basketballs, you know. But so they claim that's a pretty good product. And then I'm looking at something I didn't recall us talking about, Ribbit balls. Fun balls, easy to grab. Okay, auditory component. I better quit there. Let's see. There's a scorecard set you can use. It apparently you can, with 20 different push buttons or something, you can make up to 110 different, like, keep score of events. And then the other one, I think, was, there's a few other things here, but the walk, run, fitness kit I thought was kind of interesting, because, say, you want to jog, you could set this thing up out in a park. You could set up, two posts or something, and just some kind of thinner rope, something definitely different from, you know, like I remember, you know, when I went to the school for visually impaired, we had the hard wires and you'd hold on to them with your hands, but these, you use something you put around your wrist and you affix it to the rope, and that way you could run back and forth, you know, great for children or something people could use to get themselves up to speed to maybe evolve into jogging with other people and stuff. So anyway, a lot of cool stuff there. There was a lot of, I just wanted to spend some time on that because it was probably the second most downloaded. So my two interviews in terms of popularity were definitely the two with both APH, American Printing House for the Blind, in Louisville, Kentucky. Okay, so the next thing was magnification. 13, this one should excite a lot of people because looks like they will be adopting, I'm told they already have something like it, so I guess they're going to improve upon it. I'm a little confused on that, but 10.0 of Zoom Text will actually be something that you can have on a USB device and plug it into a computer and then get that instant or the ability to adjust up to 36x magnification. So in other words, you won't have to install the software first. So similar to our key technology that we use, U3 technology. So they didn't say if it'd be U3. They didn't go into any details, what other features. They did say that they would be rewriting it from the ground up. So that's kind of good to know that, people can, you know, it's always good when you write software from scratch, just kind of go through, take a look at it and get things up to date. But, and then also number 14 was two new magnifiers from Optilec, including a new one for $395. Folks might like traveling into stores and places where they need to read small print on personal items and so forth. And then we got all these other great interviews. I just called them. Number 15 was an interview with American Foundation for the Blind. We caught up with Krista Earle, and she talked about kind of different programs that they offer. Probably one of the biggest ones, and I put a direct link here. The number 16, which is something, a service called Career Connect. As you know, if you listen to my podcasts, we've done quite a few interviews with people in different vocations. But what this is, you can sign up for this if you like either end, either to kind of be a career guide or coach if you work in a certain industry and want to share your knowledge with other people. I mean, young adults considering what career to go into, or you can just say, hey, I'm looking for something. I want to go into radio. I'd like to talk to some other broadcasters, or maybe I want to be an attorney and I want to speak with some other attorneys, you know, whatever the case may be. And I talked to my friend last night, Danny, who said he's done quite a few of these where he's went out and mentored young adults, or at least talked to them about what it would be like in the vocation. So if you'd like to share your career expertise, or if you're just looking for a resource to find out about other people and what they're doing out there, then check out AFB Career Connect. And it's AFB.org/Career Connect. Number 17 was something called Click and Go Maps. And this is a company that InTouch Graphics, where they go out on site and actually walk through and basically create written instructions that you can either download or have as text files on your computer or maybe your iPhone, or you can even download them to your portable device. And we'll show you link number 18 here. Was what they created specifically for those of us attending ATIA. And it was kind of a layout of the Caribe Royale Hotel and Suites, where we had the event last week in Orlando, Florida. So you can look through this if you like. It's clickandgomaps.com/ATIA. You can download the zip file. So you also have the ability to get the information on the phone if you like. And I don't know what that adds in terms of cost, how that works. But so you can either get audible instructions over your phone or just download them to your device. So if you have a cell phone with internet access, or, you know, want to either check it out before you come to the event, or maybe you're at a university or going to attend the university and maybe would like to get some of these instructions to help navigate between different buildings and so forth. And they have different price models for universities and airports. And it depends. You know, they said some schools get overwhelmed because they have 200 buildings and are like, well, you only have 10, 15 students. All we need to do is map out the buildings that they specifically want to go to. So it's an interesting concept. I think the price might put it out of reach of some organizations, but we certainly wish them well. and just look through it and, you know, give them your comments and suggestions if you think the instructions are helpful, or if you have any ideas of how they might better describe or put into writing things that are going to help you. So check that out. I thought it was a pretty impressive technology there. Clickandgomaps.com. 19, we'll mention real quickly, was our conversation with Fran over at ILA, Independent Living Aids, and she talked about a number of things. Probably one of the big ones people will be interested in is the new Captain GPS. They do actually have it now. It is $475. And you can put it to its paces. It's a little thicker than a credit card, and it has a little case, so you can either use kind of an earbud slash mic set and actually give it verbal instructions, ask it specific, like, where are you and what are the approaching streets, and maybe get some points of interest. I got the impression the points of interest was not quite as up to spec. I don't know. That's some things I read outside of the venue, but we'll be curious to see how this device works. I'd love to have someone actually do a review of the product. Maybe we'll get Stephen Guerra or someone to actually put it through its paces so we can kind of feel, you know, what it really does. And of course, it has a little, if you're concerned about being distracted by having a you know, an earbud in your ear or something, that you can actually, they have a little speaker they call the hamburger, I guess, because of its shape, that you can use and you know, leave the whole thing in your pocket, and they claim that you can hear it okay even on busy streets with trucks and so forth. So we will track the progress of that. I hope to someone give us an interview of that, or a product review of that. I can't see spending $475 myself on it, but it sounds like a cool device, especially if it works. And I think Captain is committed to making improvements and enhancements to it as well. And of course, some of the other things they talked about, ILA, they have the Pen Friend labeler for $139 that, of course, those who don't mind making a long distance call to the UK can get from the RNIB directly for about $100, but they do have it in the States for $139, as well as additional replacement labels. So if you've used up all your labels and you want to buy those, they have those as well. They also mentioned a new money identifier from Franklin, who make the talking dictionaries. And she said money identifier, I was automatically thinking of iBill, but this is a different one. This one's about $299. So that's going to be another option for you. If you either get tired of waiting for the iBill that's coming out for $99, or be curious, maybe someone can actually do an A-B comparison. We'll see how the devices will work. 20 we already mentioned was the KNFB reader. Let's see if there's anything else at ILA here first. I guess the only two things were they have these Duraphones, which are large display cell phones, so that you can use, so maybe if you're traveling somewhere and you just want to buy, you know, a time on a card, on a SIM card, you know, without committing to a contract. So that might be a tool for you. And they also, it's not out yet, but they mentioned a fully talking cordless phone in the $75 price range. So we'll look for that. They claim it screenless, but has all menus talking. So we will test that and maybe buy one of those at $75. I can probably swing that and put it through its paces and see what it's made of, and if all the menus do talk and you can set ringtones and caller ID and all that good stuff, because my Panasonic is dying. So hopefully it'll hold up for another month or so until they get that product out, and we'll see what that's made of. Anyway, number 20 here is KNFB Reader. Again, I was told at the event, and you'll hear it for yourself, the audio of $995 including phone, but I couldn't get a price without the phone, or which dealers would do that. So shop around if you're being told that you still got to pay $14.95. Your mama told you to shop around. 21 is a demo. We went back to a company called Max Speech. They have three products. So those of you who are interested in voice recognition on your Macintosh, you have some options. You have Max Speech Dictate, which is general purpose, browsing the web and just different commands and text edit and just doing a whole bunch of cool stuff on your Mac. But also for folks in the professional and the transcription business, they have Max Speech Legal, and they have an app called Max Speech Medical. So we wanted to mention those things. So if you are interested in the transcription business, although I suspect most transcribers already have kind of proprietary software that they work with, but if you're allowed to work on your own as independent and the company just wants you to get the job done, that certainly, here are some tools for you on the Macintosh platform that you can go ahead and play around with at maxspeech.com. 22 was our link to Perkins products. Now, Tom had mentioned earlier he was interested in Braille displays. They do have a Seiko Braille display, so that's one product to consider. I really didn't spend a lot of time in Braille displays because I didn't really see anything new announced at the event this year, but we did look at the one. There's the Easy Braille that Handytech North America is selling, and it's made, of course, for Handytech in Germany, and it looked like a well-built product. Of course, in the APH product, if you want something smaller, 18 cells to get the cost down a little bit and reversible, and of course, use it with a cell phone or a portable device. So maybe someday the prices will come down, but those were three probably good ones I would look at if I were in the market for a Braille display. I guess the other thing was we talked about the new Braillers. There was some concern that the new Perkins Braillers had some problems, and I was told by Gail Yarnell that initially there were some production issues, but they worked it out. But they're about the same as the regular standard classic Perkins. So you get either one, and I think that's somewhere, she didn't know for sure, but they're both somewhere in the $650 price range. So they're both pretty close to each other in terms of price. I don't know if I would want one of the new Braille units or not. And some people think it's an unnecessary technology, although I do still sit here and hammer out notes for my events, although I didn't tonight. We went totally ad-lib tonight. So the final thing for Perkins is that apparently originally ILA was selling these cartridges for the NLS books. It looks like they're out of that biz, or I don't know what's happened, but I think Perkins might be the only U.S. vendor as of this recording, that I know of anyway, where you can get those. So check that out if you're interested at Perkins products. You know, so if you want that, I think it's $14.95 and maybe $3 for the USB cable if you want it. Of course, that limits you to 1 gig, so I think a more effective option is to get one of those very small 4 gig USB device. I say small meaning it's very short, and that way it doesn't protrude much. And again, I'm talking about here for your NLS digital talking book player. But either way, Perkins products here looks like the vendor for the 1 gig cartridges. Hopefully some 2 gig or larger units. I'd like to see them go to at least 4 before I have any interest in it. Number 23 was a very quick interview. She was very busy, and there was a lot of traffic there. RFB&D, just to mention quickly that they've added support for a lot of devices. So I know BookSense is one of the most recent ones. I think you'll have Level Star, your Icon, Braille Plus, and you know, of course you have Victor. So check with that if you have one of those portable players to see if support has been added for RFB&D books. Okay, just a couple of things quickly here before we open up for comments and suggestions. Number 24, I'm going to click on in here. This is other great links from blindbargains.com. They were there as well, and were able to put together a few good interviews. They interviewed some of the same folks that we did, so I'd be curious to see kind of, you know, how they approached it differently, maybe ask some different questions, but also got a few interviews that we did not cover. So there's the link. It's link number 24, and the URL is blindbargains.com/RSS/audio.xml is the URL for that. So you can check that out, and always good. We always like to have a variety of different people because different interviewers, you know, ask different questions and pursue things very differently. So we were glad not to be the only person disseminating information. We think that's very important. And then finally, a link here, and I'm not going to play it because we don't have time, but link number 25 is visually impaired broadcaster Danny Wayne talks about covering the Super Bowl, and he works for a company called Midwest Communications, and you can download that link. We will put it in the socializer and information center and all the usual places. And of course, get it at serotalk.com/podcasts/DannyNFL.mp3. Of course, capital D and capital NFL all uppercase. But anyway, we'll give you a direct URL for that. And then the last link here is number 26. Danny Wayne welcomes emails from broadcasters and NFL enthusiasts. So if you are you know, you're a big fan of football, or you want to talk about picks and all that cool stuff, you know, you can email Danny and he'd love to talk with you. He has been for a number of years covering the Indianapolis Colts. So obviously when they went to the Super Bowl and won in 07, of course, being in it again this year has given him the opportunity to attend the event. And he talks about that having 3% vision and his need to have an attendant with him to kind of pick up some things, you know, navigating a room full of 3,000 journalists and 53 players and tripods all over the place. And I thought it was a very interesting interview. So I would definitely give that a listen. It was kind of, we did it last night totally on the fly, and I just thought it came out really good. I think it's interesting, but sometimes it's hard for me to be totally biased. But anyway, that's what we got there. Let's open up some contact here. So we're going to first there enable the text questions, and then I will simultaneously enable live voice chat. And so F9 is the push to talk key for those attending via accessible event. And of course, those in the tech chat room on SAMNet may simply press the enter key. So again, just state your first name, and we'll try to answer questions, maybe anything I glossed over, or if there's something you're interested in, if I have any knowledge of it, I will share that. And if not, I'll just tell you I don't know. We will be tracking the Blio reader. We're very excited about that. That is going to be big. That's going to be one of the biggest evolutions for us, I think, in the blindness community. We may also need to implement some advocacy because, you know, in the next few years, hard copy books could become a thing of the past. So it may require some real advocacy from us to ensure that we're going to have access to all of the new electronic publications. If anyone listening to this is interested, I certainly would like to do a tech chat specifically on advocacy and people who have been successful at it and how to write quality letters that get results and the petition process when you need to go that route and how to work with companies to get enthusiastic cooperation. So it's not just people whining and complaining, but actually going in and getting results. Something we're very interested in and we'll be following. We will be doing a tech chat at some point talking about the iPad. That was also announced last Wednesday as we were en route on the 27th to ATIA. And our concerns, is this going to be a product of interest to blind and low vision community? I suspect people who already own a iPhone or iPod Touch may have no interest in making a transition to this. However, there may be some partially sighted individuals who might benefit from having what the iPad is, basically an iPod Touch with a much larger 9.7-inch display. It should run all of the iPhone apps. So if you have any existing apps, you should be able to port those into the device. So folks who either want that really large, comparatively large, I should say, touch screen, because, you know, an iPhone is 3.5 and, you know, you're going up to 9.7, but also for people with limited vision, and especially when you bring something in like Blio, this Blio reader, where you're going to actually be able to read books. Let's take the question here. Jerry, could I talk about the EVAS product? Actually, I can't because I did an interview with them but didn't demo it, but Blind Bargains actually did. I have to give kudos to them. They get more. I think they actually did two interviews. One was the demo and one was specifically an interview. I guess because of the price, you know, hearing this was going to cost a couple $1,000s, I tend to shy away from those because I have my concerns about overpriced products. I mean, it's great if it scans a document and reads it to you in 6 seconds, but, you know, at what price is that going to be? Is that something we can afford out of our pocket? Are we going to need some assistance from some state agency to get that device? So I cannot intelligently talk about that product, unfortunately. Mike Calvo is also going to review in our next podcast the Jawbone, which is a very awesome Bluetooth headset to prove to me. I said, well, how does it do a noise? He actually points a hairdryer directly at it, and we'll do that test, and you'll be kind of amazed at how it really cancels out computer noise and hairdryers and bathroom noises, because nothing worse than someone talking to you on the phone in the bathroom and hearing bathroom noises. But he's also got a new speaker as well, new dock, a new speaker, so we'll be playing with that as well. Let's see, we have a question here.
Mike, I have a question.
Jeffrey Bennett.
Jeff Bennett in Albany, New York. And I'm curious to know how you think that the iPhone or the new iPad will be able to compete with the other new phones that are coming out on the market, Mobile Speak 4, etc.
Jeff's asking how the iPad will compete with other phones. Well, first of all, the iPad is not a phone. It has no phone technology in it. So it is more like the touch. It's big market's going to be for reading books. It's kind of an ancillary. I think Ricky gave an analogy of maybe it kind of being the kitchen computer. So you can kind of browse the web, but it by default has no phone mechanism to it. So right there, it's not going to directly compete with phones. But with that said, hopefully by then, hopefully very soon, we will have 3G capabilities for Skype, so maybe people will be able to at least use Skype and at least have phone functionality that way. We're in such an early stage at this point, and, you know, the critics are really slamming it right now. It's going to be the next Apple TV. It's going to have minimal sales, only to a few fans. And everyone I've talked to said, no, I'm not getting it, but I do want to go see it. So it'll be interesting to see how many people, when they see it, decide, oh, I want that. That is so cool. Or the whole me too, got to have it thing, you know, the follower versus leader, when your neighbor and friend and family member down the street has one and they're oohing and aahing over it, how that changes the landscape. But I do think we are going to do a debate and discussion on it because there's some mixed opinions, even inside Cerotech, as to the success of this product. And who knows? There's all kinds of arguments, interesting articles about things like device overload. We can only purchase so many devices. And this is the same thing I thought with the variety of different book players. You know, when you have Victor, BookSense, and PlexTalk, and BookPort Plus, we're going to have the same thing in the iPhone arena. You know, with iPod, iPad, you know, iPhone, iMac, you know, everything else. At some point, are you going to reach a point of saturation where either because of the economy or people said enough is enough, I'm going to keep the devices and use what I have. And maybe it's a great technology, you know, like the beta format. VHS beat beta. Beta was superior technology, but VHS had the number in terms of volume of different movies available, and it was just the technology that was adopted and not because it was any better. So anyway, Jeff, I don't think iPad will compete with phones per se. Maybe more of portable devices, other readers. Looks like they're going after more like Kindle and book reading apparatus, I think is kind of where the efforts are going as far as I can tell. the attendance was down. And I honestly don't know that we will be attending ATIA in the future, I'll be quite honest with you. It seems to be more geared toward government purchases and people working in the rehab sectors. And certainly we want everybody possible to know about Cerotec, but our people are more consumer-based. And I didn't see a lot of individual consumers. And I spoke with one person who commented that, you know, you did this pretty extensive questionnaire before you could even get in the door, that you either had to fill out in advance at home or fill out before you could go in the door. And it was definitely not geared toward consumers. Like, consumer was like the last option. So it's certainly marketed toward government and educational folks and so forth, because that's very expensive, and there's certainly other ways that the money could be spent. So time will tell. Always, we welcome your suggestions for future show ideas, resources at cerotalk.com. Call our Blabline about any podcast or accessible event, tech chat. That telephone number is 866-997-BLAB. That's 866-997-2522. Sometimes so few people put in their 2 cents that it makes yours all that much more valuable. Cranks at least up to a quarter, $1.50. Let us know what you're interested in. That drives the direction. By the way, some folks were asking about RSS. We are not just automatically distributing these 28, which is now up to 30 different audio recordings via RSS because of the bandwidth. Over 200 meg per person times 10,000 would be over 2 terabytes. So what we decided to do is to just ask people to go directly to cerotalk.com, and you can click on the link that says 28 interviews or any of the other stuff that's posted subsequently, and just download the particular items of interest, because like I said, a lot of it's not specific to blindness and low vision, and you know, it's just cost prohibitive to just dump 2 terabytes of data out there to people who may not even listen to a lot of the stuff and just delete it because they don't have time. But if you have a radio station or other entity, the material has been offered to ACB Radio and Blind Cool Tech and Innovations. We just want to get the word out. I mean, it was a lot of cost. All we ask is you get give attribution to cerotalk.com. It's only fair because we spent a little chunk of change to get there and hang out at hotels, which weren't cheap, $180 a night and so forth. But we do want to get the word out. We want people, the whole point and mission of Cerotalk podcast and blog is just to let people know of their options so that they don't just go with what their rehab agency tells them, so that you know that you have options, be it screen reading, magnification, OCR technologies, whatever you're interested in, so that you can make informed, intelligent decisions about all options available to you. Join us again next week, and stay cerotalk.com. I think I did over 5 hours of audio in the last week. Tune into Samnet Radio. I'm rotating 3 hours of kind of some of the best of. So if you just don't want to have to work too hard at it, maybe sometime when you got time on your hands, you can't sleep, or you just want to tune into kind of a best of, just tune into Samnet Radio, radio.samobile.net, and I'm rotating 3 hours of some of the best interviews, including our most recent podcast. So that's one way, just, you know, you can pretty much tune in at any time and just follow it around for 3 hours and stay up to date on the latest and greatest, and we'll be doing that for the next week or so. For some new changes to Samnet Radio, we're looking at some different content for that vehicle. So until we meet again next week, let's stay connected and stay directed.